It's my honor and privilege to introduce a special guest today. We're joined today by Reverend Becca Lindberg, and welcome her to the pulpit to share God's word with us and with the kids, and so appreciative that you've come at this stage, and may God bless us all as we continue through this day.
Now on? Great. I'm not quite as tall as you, Samuel, so I had to move it out of the way. Please pray with me. Jesus, may these be your words for your people this morning. Amen. So good morning. My name is Pastor Becca. I know there's been some talk about me, so I'm officially standing up here now. You can hear from me. If you haven't been to the Sunday school time, or the meetings yesterday, I figured I would introduce myself a little bit. A few random facts for you, not the same ones I just shared with the children. So my name is Becca. I grew up in Washington State. I grew up in the Cascade Mountains, town of Snoqualmie. So if you've seen Twin Peaks, that's the town. If you have had Snoqualmie Falls pancake mix, also from the same town. I have a Master's of Divinity from North Park University, which is this Covenant Seminary in Chicago, and a Master's of Christian Scripture, Old Testament from Seattle Pacific University Seminary. I currently serve a church in the Boston area. They would never say they were a suburb of Boston, but they are functionally a suburb of Boston. But I live on the ocean in the town of Beverly, which has been a huge gift for me. And I have a tiny little apartment and kitchen. So all of my tools in my kitchen are multi-purpose except one. My favorite one is my ice cream maker, and I use it all the time. So I like my ice cream, and I have asked for an ice cream tour of Eugene if that becomes necessity. So people know that if they want to come take me around. So we're going to think all the way back to the children's message. It was so long ago, to that book I brought. I did take a picture of one of the pages so that you all could see it too. That's my dog. He's still great. And so this is a look-alike book that I use. I don't know how well this will come across in the screen. But kind of take a peek and see if you can see any of those objects. Forrest can look at it in person with the kids. They have the book over there. And now we'll move to the next slide. I circled some of the things. So the one in this is a glove that the couch is made out of. The ferns are actually like snap peas. In the back, that rug is a crossword puzzle. And the podium is a razor. And so the whole book is like that. It's very, very fun. There's a lot more I didn't point out because I could have circled the whole thing. The whole book is pulled with objects that are made from everyday things. And it's so much fun. And we can go to the next so we don't get distracted. And I wanted to start with this image because, like with the children's message, we too are going to talk about looking for Jesus. And looking for Jesus but instead of just like looking for Jesus in places besides church, for us, it's looking for Jesus in places we don't expect and finding him in places we don't expect, which would be like, you know, the glove for the couch or the crossword puzzle for the rug or the gardener for Jesus, like in our gospel text. So at the story that was read for us this morning, it's from the Gospel of John, and our setting is that this is early Easter morning, before anybody knows what's going on. I think it's John 20 if you're looking it up, but it does say in the bulletin. Mary has already gone to the tomb, right? We know this part of the story. The stone is rolled away. The body is missing. She immediately thinks somebody's stolen it, gets Simon Peter and John. There's this angel that shows up and says, no, he's risen. Peter and John leave, and Mary is at the tomb. That is where the story takes place. This is where we start. Mary is distraught, which makes sense. She has just lost one of the most important people in her life, the person she literally followed around the country, like caravan backpacking trip style, the teacher who seemed to truly make sense of understanding God. And it's starting to make sense. One who was going to lift her and everyone she loved up, rescue them from the power of Rome and from the powers of evil. And he's dead. And he's been dead for 3 days. And she's in that stage of grief where it's still really new. And you're kind of expecting to see the person around still, right? Like, walk around a corner and you catch them out of the corner of your eye. That's where she's at. And then the body is missing. And so she's sitting outside of her friend's grave, and she's probably frantic, probably distraught, trying to figure out what could have happened. Who would have taken his body? Where would it have gone? Oh my goodness, all of these things. Are we in danger too? Because the Romans could go after his followers, like these just circling and circling and circling thoughts. And she's looking for Jesus, right? She's trying to find Jesus's body. She is actively searching for him. And the irony is that while she's looking for Jesus, she finds Jesus. Verse 14 tells us that Mary turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. Does that surprise you as you hear it? That Mary is looking for Jesus, right? She's looking for him. She wants to find him. And she knows Jesus. She's followed him for years. She probably knows his favorite food. She knows what his voice sounds like. They probably have inside jokes. They know each other really well. And she is trying to find him. And yet she misses him right in front of her. And it's easy for us to take this and to put it just on Mary in that moment and be like, well, yeah, she missed him because he's supposed to be dead and now he's not. You're not expecting that. Or you go on the, like, that's the shock of Easter morning. How big could it have been? I can't even imagine. But scripture is also meant for us. And so how does this story, this idea of looking for Jesus when he's in, right in front of us and we miss it? Do we do that too? Do we miss Jesus right in front of our faces? My guess is that most of us here have gotten to know Jesus pretty well over the years. Maybe you haven't followed Jesus your whole life, but you're here. You're at church on a Sunday morning. You could have been watching the marathon. You know Jesus. And you probably know Jesus, not just about Jesus. But you have some patterns, some history, some ways to connect with Jesus that work for you, that have helped, that connect you. Places you can consistently turn to again and again to connect with God. I hope you do. I have some. I love to listen to music. You did that song we just sang is one of my favorites, which I didn't tell anyone, so that was a nice surprise. I love to connect to Jesus this way. Sometimes it's even the instrumental music with no words that will speak in a way that words never could from Jesus. But the simplest and most consistent way is through the stars for me. I love to stargaze and connect to God through space. And I can't tell you where that started. It might be that my dad taught astronomy, and so that was always a thing we did together, and it became a thing with, like, dad and I did, because my mom can't see a constellation to save her life, so dad wouldn't wake her up for cool astronomy things at 3 a.m. because she'd be like, no, I don't want to. So he'd wake me up, and we got to do them together. So it was always a family thing of connection. Maybe I love the stars because a lot of my early memories connecting with Jesus happened at camp in the evenings when the stars would come out and he'd be sitting on a hill, and I just connected those things together. Maybe it's because the beauty and the vastness of space reminds me of the Creator, and I just can't help it. Maybe I'm just a nerd like space. But either way, any of those ways, I love to look up at the stars, and they've become that reminder to me that God is with me. And I remember I went to undergrad at North Park University in Chicago, and Chicago's weird at night because there's so many streetlights, the sky is orange, and it just bounces off the sky. And there was a night that it was kind of a rough night, and I was praying, and I was walking around on campus after a night class, and I looked up, and there was one star shining through the orange clouds. And I was like, all right, Jesus, I know you're here with me. I got you. It's always been that reminder. If I need a reminder that Jesus loves me and I look up, like, 9 out of 10, there's a star out for me, which is very cool. And I hope that you as well have some of those patterns that connect you to Jesus. Maybe you're like me and it's through music or it's through nature. Maybe instead you connect to God more through the academic thought and study and a really good podcast or that insight in a Bible study that you'd never had before really connects you to Jesus. Maybe you're one of the people that likes contemplative silences or some of the spiritual disciplines like Lectio Divina to really connect you to God. All of these are good and they're beautiful, and I hope you have some of these patterns. But sometimes stuff happens, right? Sometimes life gets chaotic and we don't have time. We have to do the next thing, the next thing, next thing, the next thing. And maybe we do the steps of the patterns, but we're not really connecting to God. Or maybe you find that all of a sudden there's not as much life in them anymore. What served you for so many years just isn't working for some reason. Maybe there's a crisis and you just can't. You just can't do it today. And God feels really far. And you're looking for Jesus when you have the moments to breathe, or you're looking for Jesus in new things and you can't find him. And it can feel like God is really distant in these moments, that God is far from us, that God doesn't understand our pain or know how we feel. And Mary probably felt that way, felt like Jesus was dead and God was really far. But our gospel text shows us that even though Mary felt as though Jesus was far from her, he was actually right there, present with her. And I wonder how often that happens to us too, where we feel like God is distant from us, when in reality, God is right there with us, right in front of our faces. So if I'm being honest, this Lenten season has been really hard for me. God has felt really far from me, just in the chaos and unexpectedness of this season. So I've been working with the search committee here at Valley Covenant Church, planning visits. It's a long flight to get from Boston to Eugene. There's a lot of going into that, and I have to get someone to watch my dog and all of these things. Meanwhile, it's Holy Week. I'm still at a church. Monday, Thursday, Good Friday. We have a big Saturday event Sunday morning. And then my sister, who's my very best friend, is pregnant with her first child due in July. But he was born April 10th. So he was born, 26 weeks? And it's been brutal. He's all right. He's under 2 pounds. I flew out Easter Sunday after church to spend the week with her. And I wrote most of this draft of the sermon in the NICU waiting room so that she didn't have to go alone. She can only hold him for an hour some days if he's doing well. And it has been my privilege to be there. I would not have missed it for anything. But it has not been an easy season for us. And I filled out a little, like, what have I done in these last, 3 weeks? And I'm like, oh my, no wonder I'm tired. No wonder Jesus seems far. All I can do is the very next thing. But in the midst of all of that, the text I'm working with is the one where Jesus is right in front of your face and you don't notice. So maybe Jesus is right in front of my face and I haven't seen it because I can't look up right now. But that doesn't mean Jesus is not there. Just because the normal patterns maybe haven't worked, or I haven't had time to listen to worship music, or I'm just so emotionally tired that the news that God is good feels like maybe I don't believe it right at this exact moment, doesn't mean it's not true. Let's go back to that text. I think there's a slide of a picture. This is from the cathedral, the National Cathedral in D.C., This is the story where Mary didn't see Jesus. Do you remember what cued her in that it was Jesus? This is verse 15. Thinking he was the gardener, Mary, she said, "Sir, have you carried him away? Tell me, where have you put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," Rabboni probably, which means teacher. He said her name. And then she said, "Oh, it's you." She did know him well enough that as soon as he called her name, she recognized him in a place she never thought he would be, where he shouldn't have ever been. Like in that book where I pointed out, right? Oh no, those are beans. And you're like, oh yes, so they are. They called her by name and she saw. So do you know Jesus well enough that if he calls your name in those moments where life is really hard or in a place you never thought he would be, that you would notice, that you'd be like, oh, that is Jesus. I kind of didn't think I'd ever see you in the grocery store, but I guess that's you. And I'll have to apply that knowledge now. A lot of this is if you're paying attention, both to who Jesus is and where Jesus may be. So I don't usually tell quite so many stories about myself in a sermon, but I know you all are trying to get to know me. So I have another story about myself to add in. About a time where I did actually pay attention. We can go to a blank slide. Where I was paying attention and did find Jesus in an unexpected place. I cannot say I always do this well, but this time I did, and I can share it with you. So I went to North Park Theological Seminary as well for my Master's of Divinity, and there is two covenant seminaries. One is in Chicago, and the other is in Gemena, Congo. And there was a class at North Park where we could take a summer week intensive in Congo with the seminary students there. So we would fly out, take a joint class together, live with host families. They called us the students because we were the first group to stay with host families. They had to have a bath. They had to have a latrine with, they had a latrine and they had to have a door that would lock. That was the requirements to host one of the international students. And I had wanted to go on this trip for years. I was so excited to go. And I, you know, raised my money and I got on all the planes and we went. And I was expecting to meet Jesus in this trip, right? I was expecting to meet him somewhere. And I thought maybe it would be in the stars, right, where I always find him, in those beautiful non-light pollution night skies there. And it was stunning. And I thought maybe I would find him in the worship music, because the African music is something. It's beautiful. And it was always amazing to hear them sing. And maybe I would have found him in, because we got to preach in the churches. They sent all of us seminary students to preach in like traditional garb that they made for us with fabric we picked. And I thought maybe it would be that, when we could worship together and we could speak the words. And the moment that stands out the most, where I connected with Jesus the most, wasn't any of those places, even though he was in all of those places. The one that I stands out most clearly was in a lecture in a language I didn't know, which was French. I don't know any French. I know some of y'all do. I do not. So as part of their conference, it was a big deal to host. The hospitality is a huge deal, and it was a huge deal to host us. And so there was a big, like, conference at the end of the week, and the professors would go and gave, like, a lecture in French on his specialty was on song. It was, like, his official paper, like what you would give at Wheaton or something, like the official presentation. And it was in French, and the government officials all came, and the important people in town all came, and the professors were all there. And we were the guests of honor, and they sat us in the front row, but they didn't translate anything. So we just sat there in the front row, having to look attentive in this really hot room as the professor lectures in a language we don't know for hours. And at the corner of our eye, I started noticing a little bit of movement. And so there was the door was open to let air flow. And there were some kids outside in, like, you know, kid stuff. And they would, like, and then there'd be a person at the door to, like, shoo them away. And then they'd all kind of, like, come back. And then they'd shoo them away again. It just kept happening over and over again. Because not only is hospitality a really big deal, but, like, honor and who is important. And honor is also important. So the kids weren't allowed in that space. They could only look through the doors. And I was watching them do it, and I had this moment where Jesus was like, Becca, you know where I would be, right? He's like, because he would have been invited as a dignitary, as a speaker into this room, and he would have been with the children playing soccer. It was so clear to me that Jesus would have been with the children instead of with the honored place in that room. And that the parable of the story of let the little children come to me, I'd never gotten it that same way. Because here we want the kids to come. And there they didn't, and Jesus was going to go anyway. And I was like, Becca, do you see me? Becca, do you see me? Do you see where I am? Do you see me in the children that are just awkwardly peering through the doorway at you. And it would have been so easy to miss it, right? There, like, I could have been trying to figure out what my professor was saying in French. I could have been like, it's so hot in here. What are we gonna eat later? What time is it? Oh my gosh. But then I would have missed it. I would have missed this beautiful image that's been really impactful in my life about how important who we think aren't important the people are, that Jesus will always pick them, will always be there. And these kind of moments can happen to any of us, right? We can get so caught up in where Jesus was, where we expect him to be, where he, quote, should be, that we miss where he is. I think especially if we're desperately searching for Jesus and we only check the normal places. Don't just check the normal places. Because the flash of insight from Jesus could occur in a language you don't know. Or it could occur at the grocery store or in things like raising someone from the dead. That just doesn't seem possible, except that we tell it every year at Easter so we forget. This is why I love that Isaiah, it's verse 19, chapter 43, which should be a slide. I'm about to do a new thing. Oh, this is me in Congo with some of the kids. I forgot to have this one come up. They are great. This is the verse from Isaiah. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will do a new thing. We get so stuck on what God has done and the old things and the patterns that we forget that God is going to do a new thing. And we don't look for Jesus in new things. Church isn't really geared at that. We kind of gear ourselves at what has been and what we have done instead of where Jesus will be, where he is now. That's why I love this one. I am going to do a new thing. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. As Jesus' followers, we believe that Jesus is with us, even when we cannot see him. We believe that he is doing a new thing, even when we cannot see a way through. Even if, like my last few weeks, life has got so busy and chaotic, you can't even look, you don't even know what to do, we still believe Jesus is right there with you, still in the air that we breathe, giving us the guidance we need to take forward. So if you find yourselves in these moments, like me, where it's just chaotic, or like Mary, where you cannot see Jesus in the places he was before, I urge you, that's part of Christian life. It's okay. You're not doing it wrong. This happens to us sometimes. But when you have a moment to come up for air, or you have a moment to start looking, keep looking and pay attention to places you haven't paid attention before. Go on a walk in a new spot. Find a different musical artist. If you've been to Bible studies, do spiritual disciplines. If you've done spiritual disciplines, do a Bible study. Try something else. Because so often we get distracted by our stresses and by our fears, by our to-do lists, that we miss it. We miss Jesus. Maybe we come to church and we do devotions, or we go to Bible study, or we listen to whatever the Christian radio station in Eugene is, but we don't connect. We've forgotten to pay attention to the other places we go and the other places Jesus may be. This is not easy work. This is our whole life work. This is every day we walk with Jesus work. No matter how well we know Jesus, how long you have walked with him, Jesus will still surprise you. Jesus will still show up somewhere you're like, never thought I'd be here. Ha ha. At least that's what he does to me. I was like, I did never think we would be here. Apparently we are. All right, Jesus, I'll do my best. I think Jesus is still able to surprise us, to show up in unexpected places and call our names, asking us, do you see me? Do you see me? Pay attention. I'm calling your name. I want you to find me. My prayer for all of us is that we have eyes to see Jesus, ears to hear his words, and the patience to keep paying attention and searching for what is truly right there in front of us. Please pray with me. Jesus, thank you for raising from the dead. Thank you for making ways in the desert. Thank you for doing new things. Give us eyes to see you and ears to hear you when life is so chaotic we don't even know where to look. Give us eyes to see you and ears to hear you when we don't know where to look because you're not where you've been before and we're afraid to find you somewhere new. Help us to rest in your love and follow your guidance as we walk after you. Amen.